Welcome to r/smut, where we find the spiciest stories that Reddit has to offer and read it to you, horny little rats. It's time to r/smut up and listen.
Hey, Charlotte.
It's Riley.
And we're back with more Reddit erotica.
Welcome back, everyone. Hello.
And if you're listening to this on your normal podcasting platform, head on over to Patreon and check us out there. We do this every week.
Please.
And this first one comes from Kalia_Fox, and it's called, I signed up to manage the band, but now I'm getting wrecked on the tour bus. And the tags are female 28, male 25, free use, horny, bus sex.
Bus sex.
I thought I was signing up to manage a band. You know, budget, sound checks, making sure nobody dies in a Waffle House parking lot. Normal manager things. I'm 28, a few years older than them. Not ancient, but positively the only one here to know what a 401k is. My lipstick's still intact. Hair's doing the thing I like. I look good. Intimidating. Managerial. I look like someone who gets paid to say no to ridiculous requests. What I didn't realize was that I'd be stepping on a tour bus with the horniest group of degenerates on the East Coast. To be clear, they're all hot, like model hot. Roxy's cheekbones are a crime. Luna could ruin lives with one glance. Oh, it's a girl band.
Oh, hell yeah. Josie and the Pussycats.
Sam looks like a haunted angel. Even Theo, who's currently trying to peel a sticker off his snare drum with surgical focus, is weirdly beautiful in that golden retriever way. They are unfairly attractive. Oh, so we're a mixed gender band.
Okay.
Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, I was like, give me a band.
And deeply unqualified to manage themselves. Case in point, in my hand is an agreement which includes what they call, completely seriously, the free use clause. Clause as in the band's official tour document, which was typed in Comic Sans and laminated. Oh my god, Comic Sans is a crime.
It's the worst fucking font.
Yes. Because apparently we care about professionalism now. There's a bullet point that reads, all parties on the bus consent to casual, consensual use at any time. No shame, no fuss, just kindness and condoms.
Okay.
All right. Underneath that, someone doodled a peach with fangs. I don't know who. Probably Sam. Luna, the band's guitarist and the brain behind this nightmare, grins at me from across the table in the back lounge. She's swirling a Sharpie like a drumstick and wearing a t-shirt that says, don't ask, just moan.
Spicy.
Everyone on the bus is legally bound by the clause, she deadpans. I roll my eyes. This is a lawsuit waiting to happen. Come on, Mia. Zane, the band's lead singer, plops down next to me and slings an arm around my shoulders. Don't be such a mood killer. You already saw Theo masturbating in the bunk corridor yesterday and didn't quit, so you're halfway broken in. And I will start invoicing per trauma, I say, crossing my arms. Theo, our drummer, only grins from across the kitchenette. Sam, the synth/keyboardist, slinks by while trailing lace and eyeliner and a vague smell of patchouli. They lean in close. Honestly, we're just trying to save on the therapy bills. Ash, our bassist, doesn't even look up from his notebook. Yeah, this is definitely cheaper than a group session, he mutters. Roxy's our rhythm girl. She's at the back, elbow deep in a tangle of wires, shouting, we voted, it's democratic. The worst part? It's disturbingly thorough with consent protocols. STI testing guidelines all sandwiched between notes about laundry rotation and who showers first. I just stare down at it. Then I hand it back and say, nah. Luna just shrugs. Of course you're exempt. Obviously. Obviously. We're scared of you, Theo admits, reorganizing his drumsticks nervously. Ash just looks at me for a long moment and says, yeah, no one else is going to want to manage us if you leave. And just like that, I become the clause-exempt manager of Feral Peach. With a long sigh, I retreat to my little nook, clutching my notebook like it holds the last shred of my sanity. Barely an hour into mind-numbing paperwork, and suddenly commotion erupts from the lounge. I take a peek, only to find Zane and Roxy arguing, or at least, that's what it looks like at first. Roxy's bent over the bench seat, and Zane is right behind her, their bodies moving in rhythm as Zane traces numbers on a spreadsheet with one hand while gripping her hip with the other.
Oh, he's fucking her.
While doing paperwork.
Yeah.
If we cut the pyrotechnics in Cleveland, he says, thrusting in time with his calculations, we can afford that custom fog machine. Roxy whimpers, face pressed against the calculator, her fingers clawing at the tour expenses ledger for support. Well, good luck convincing Mia. I pinch the bridge of my nose. I'm confiscating all of your debit cards, I announce. Zane glances over his shoulder, sweat glistening along the ridges of his abs. Too late, he grins at me and snaps his hips forward, making Roxy yelp. already ordered the confetti cannon. Best kind of budget blowout, Roxy moans as the spreadsheet flutters to the floor. I blink at the scene before me, suddenly parched. I need a fucking drink. The kitchenette offers no respite. Luna leans back against the kitchen counter in her birthday suit, utterly unselfconscious in her nakedness. Her guitar rests against her bare chest, the strap cutting a teasing line between her breasts, the body of the instrument grazing one peaked nipple. She looks like some untamed deity of rock, all wild curls and smirking lips. Her legs parted just enough to allow Theo to worship her. Oh, it's like an orgy.
My goodness. It is.
He's wedged between her thighs, his curls bouncing with every movement, sweat-slicked skin a few shades deeper than tan gleaming under the low light as he worships her. His broad hands grip her hips, nails biting half-moons into her flesh, and his tongue drags slow, deliberate circles around her clit before sliding down, savoring her with a filthy, unhurried rhythm. No way, Theo, she laughs, breathless as his teeth graze her inner thigh. I'm not going to change the intro. You should make it dirtier, he mutters against her skin, voice rough. Dirtier than this? Luna tips her head back with a gasp before letting out a laugh. That's impossible. Theo hums against her, the vibration ringing a moan from her throat. You're the goddess of the impossible. Luna arches into each flick, each suck, her breath catching as her fingers twist in his hair, pulling him closer like a plea. Fuck, keep that up and I'll rewrite the chorus for you. The guitar slips sideways with a discordant twang, but neither of them gives a damn. A half-eaten granola bar lies forgotten on the counter. I blink. You better sanitize this entire counter when you're done, I mutter, reaching past them for the whiskey.
This has to be, like, if you're someone that is not like this, how do you think that would
nightmare?
Feel? Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, sounds stressful. Everywhere she goes, she can't go anywhere without running into someone fucking.
Yeah, oh my god. I'd be like,
Luna plucks a lazy G chord, her back arching, her head thrown back, blissful from Theo's ministrations. Relax, she purrs. Theo's thorough. A muffled mm-hmm vibrates from between her legs. I snatch their granola bar and escape into the bunk room, but that's probably the biggest mistake of all. Sam is splayed across the lowest bunk bed like a fallen angel. Their fishnets are ripped at the thighs, leather harness straining with each ragged breath, their legs draped over Ash's shoulders, the bass's strong hands leaving faint red marks on pale skin as they move together in a rhythm that's anything but musical. I should probably look away. I don't.
Yeah, because you like it.
Join in!
Do it!
Ash drives into them with a single-minded precision, sweat glistening along the intricate tattoos wrapping his biceps, muscles flexing with each measured thrust that makes Sam's silver chains tremble. Sam's face is buried in their lyric notebook, fingers clutching the pen so tight their knuckles bleach white between gasps. The bridge needs, work, they pant, underlining something with shaky hands before their entire body bows off the seat. The pen leaves a wild streak across the page as their back arches beautifully. Fuck, that cadence is better. Ash doesn't break concentration, his dark eyes fixed on where their bodies meet. I told you the pre-chorus was too repetitive, he murmurs, punctuating each word with a sharp snap of his hips that makes Sam's thighs quiver. Wow, everyone on this bus is multitasking.
Literally. They're all clocked in.
Yeah, they're doing their work.
Yeah, I mean, good for them. They just need a release.
Yeah.
I feel like that has to be so messy, though.
The notebook slips to the floor as Sam finally loses their grip on coherence, fingers scrabbling at Ash's forearms. Their choked-off moan harmonizes perfectly with a squeak of the leather seats and the distant hum of highway asphalt beneath us. I stare at the ceiling. I need a raise. Oh, they are driving down the road doing this.
Yeah, they're in a big old bus.
We pay you in exposure, Luna calls from the other end of the bus. The night is falling, and the rest of them are off chasing burritos and thrift store lingerie for reasons I'm not even going to ask about. Zane stayed behind on the tour bus because the others forced him to finish the set list before our next show in LA, which is in 3 days. I stayed behind because someone has to yell at a venue about wrong tech specs, and because Zane needs babysitting or nothing gets done. Can't say it's going well because I'm this close to throttling him. He sprawled shirtless across the bus couch, his unfairly perfect abs catching the shitty overhead lights. He's been practicing lyrics for an hour, which mostly means groaning into his notebook and readjusting himself every 30 seconds. Focus, I snap, kicking his boot. Mia, Zane interrupts, voice strained. I'm dying. From? Zane looks up at me with those stupidly perfect puppy dog eyes, his lower lip jutting out in a pout that's won him legions of fans and probably way too many bad decisions. Blue balls, he gestures vaguely into the air. there. I can't concentrate when I'm this horny. Oh my God. Duh. I toss a Sharpie at his chest, then go jerk off. I can't. He actually has the audacity to blush. You're right here, and you'll know. And then I'll know that you know. And then every time we make eye contact, I'll remember that you know I, my God in heaven. I throw my hands up, sending a stack of writer requests flying. I'm going to actually do some work. Try not to die of sexual frustration in the next 20 minutes. Half an hour later, after successfully convincing a venue manager that no, we don't actually need 7 colors of M&Ms backstage, I return to find Zane exactly where I left him, except now he's glistening with sweat, bouncing his knee like he's keeping time, and tapping his pen against the table. That's when I notice what he's been writing. Instead of set lists, the notebook in front of him contains 1, Mia's lips, heart, 2, Mia's tits, star, 3, Mia writing me, underlined twice, 4, ?, profit. What a list.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck does this mean?
The pen snaps in my hand before I even realized I've grabbed it. Okay, you hopeless fuck. I growl, slamming the notebook shut. Here's the deal. You get 5 minutes. No kissing. No feelings. And if you ever write my name in your little sex bullet points again, I will replace your mic with a dildo during the Denver show.
You hopeless fuck. I love that.
Use that.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Zane's grin could power the entire tour bus. I've never been more motivated in my life. Just as he reaches for me, my phone blares with the venue manager's name flashing across the screen. Zane remains unperturbed, already making quick work of my blazer buttons before pushing my tank top up, his mouth latching onto the swell of my breast without missing a beat. Oh, his teeth graze my nipple, my brain stutters. You don't have our insurance info yet? I stammer into the phone, my voice flat despite the fact that Zane's tongue is doing sinful things to my skin. I don't know why I let him. Maybe I understand it's the stress of tour logistics, or maybe it's just that I haven't been properly fucked since my old corporate job's sad holiday party. Fuck. Zane pants against my collarbone, his hands dragging my leggings down my thighs in one smooth motion, taking my panties with them. Did they, fuck, lose our fucking insurance docs? Unbelievable. Unprofessional. I gasp as his fingers slide through my slick folds from behind. The phone buzzes again, and it's our insurance company's agent this time. I bend over the table, bracing one hand against the surface as I answer, just as Zane nudges the thick head of his cock at my entrance from behind. So, my breath hitches as he pushes in, slow and deliberate. Did you send the docs to the venue? I ask our insurance manager like it's just another Tuesday. Tell them we'll sue, Zane drawls before sheathing himself fully inside me. I glare at him over my shoulder, but the protest dies in my throat, replaced by a moan. His cock is obscene. It's stretching me perfectly, and the way his thumb circles my clit is downright filthy.
Obscene?
He's got an obscene cock.
Yeah, that's a big boy.
I don't want any trouble with the venue, I snap into the phone, voice cold and precise, even as my hips roll back against Zane behind me. And if I do, then someone's getting fired. Good. Intimidate them, Zane murmurs in my ear, his thrust deep and unhurried. Fuck, you're terrifying, he murmurs, breathless. And it's so goddamn hot. Gotta send them an email reminder, I mutter to myself. And right at this time, the door flies open. We brought tacos and... Oh, holy shit, Luna freezes, holding up a greasy stained bag as the rest of the band piles in behind her. She's like, I thought you were fucking square.
Yeah, she's fucking.
Sam squints. Is she still emailing? Theo, ever the professional, peers at my screen. You missed a comma in that writer request. Zane, the bastard, picks that exact moment to thrust up into me extra hard, sending my phone clattering to the floor as we both tumble over the edge. Later, Luna slides me a cocktail with a wicked grin. Welcome to the circus, manager. I drain it in one gulp. Just another day with Feral Peach. The end.
I liked that one.
Yeah, that one was really fun.
That was fun. And she got down and dirty with them.
She did, but she still remained professional.
All right. And this next one comes from apprehensive_dog3309, which I think we've done a time or two.
Yes, we have.
Welcome back. My dad's friend finally made his move after I turned legal. And the tags are male 48, female 19, orgasm, teasing, big dick, naked.
Ew.
The big dick always gets me. I don't even know where to start. Maybe a little backstory first. Okay, so my dad's friend, yeah, older, beard, deep voice, kind of rough around the edges, big hands, always wears that same leather jacket that smells like firewood and engine oil. He's been around forever, but of course never gave me any attention, always over for beers or helping dad fix shit around the house. And he always acted so normal, polite and definitely safe. Yeah, as a fucking adult should, as around a child.
Yeah, he didn't hit on me.
He shouldn't. The bar is on the floor. Except I saw the way his eyes lingered up. Oh, oh, never mind. Here we are. Except I saw the way his eyes lingered after I went to college. And of course I turned 18. The way he'd glance down when I wore crop tops. The way he cleared his throat when I bent over. He never said shit. Never acted on it. But I knew. And I'd been obsessed with getting under his skin ever since. Fast forward to last night. Dad invites him over for movie night. Nothing new. They drink, talk shit, pick some old action flick. I was just in the mood to tease, to be honest. Wore these soft little gray shorts that ride up just enough and a loose tank with no bra. I saw his jaw tighten the moment I walked in and sat on the floor between them. He said my name when I reached up to grab the remote and my tank slipped low. Voice all rough, low-key warning me. I just looked back at him and smiled. What? All innocent. Halfway through the movie, Dad said he was tired and went upstairs to sleep, like always. He left, and suddenly, it's just me and him, in the dark, on the floor, barely a foot between us. And the tension, like, thick.
Oh my god.
I could feel his eyes on me, trying not to look, but failing. So I pushed it, leaned back on my hands, arched my back a little, let my shorts ride up. I pretended not to notice the way he adjusted himself, cleared his throat again, kept his hands clenched in his lap. Then I said it, soft as hell. You always this quiet when it's just us? His eyes cut to me. Your dad's upstairs. I smirked. Yeah, he's also passed out. He looks so uncomfortable, shifting around, jaw tight, eyes anywhere but on me now. You're playing with fire, sweetheart. Boy, what does that mean?
I don't like this. I think of literally any of my dad's friends, and I'm like, ugh, yeah. Disgusting.
Gross.
Gross.
And I leaned closer, my voice almost a whisper. Maybe I want to. He exhaled so slow. You don't know what you're doing. Yeah, I do, I said, and I moved, slowly climbing right into his lap. He froze, arms stiff at his sides. I could feel how hard he was through his jeans, and I swear he stopped breathing. Tell me to stop, I whispered, grinding once, slow. I will. His hands finally moved, grabbed my hips like he was gonna push me off, but he didn't. Just held me there. Fuck, he muttered. This is wrong. But I kissed him, hard. And after that, he stopped resisting.
Ew, if you knew this girl when she was a child, that's foul.
Yeah, and he did. That is just, I don't get that. That's why no. I'm not fucking yucking anyone's yum, but I don't understand this genre of like porn, I guess, you know?
Did you hear about the author in Australia who got arrested for writing a story like this?
No, holy shit.
Yeah, it was called Daddy's Little Toy.
Okay, well.
Yeah, she sent it out to a bunch of ARC readers and she straight up got arrested for what was in her book because I guess the dad's friend or whatever had been looking at her since she was a toddler.
Ew!
Yeah.
She should be arrested.
Yeah, and the author in the book made the dedication something fucking nasty, like, I'll never look at my kids the same way again, or something like that.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm, and she got arrested for it.
As she should, honestly.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
On with the story.
On with this cute little story. His hands tightened on my waist, and he kissed me back like he'd been holding it in for years. Tongue deep, teeth scraping my lip, fingers bruising my skin as he pulled me closer. His mouth moved to my neck, biting just enough to make me gasp. He whispered, "Be quiet for me, baby. Can't have daddy hearing his little girl getting fucked."
Ew.
Excuse me. That alone almost made me come. Get therapy.
Yes, please.
He pushed me down to the floor, pulled my shorts down slow, licking his lips when he saw how soaked I was. Fucking soaked already? Filthy little thing. Then he spread me open and went down on me like it was his last meal. His tongue was everywhere. Deep flicks, slow circles, sucking my clit while two fingers slid in deep, curling just right. I had my hand clamped over my mouth, trying so hard not to cry out. But it was too much. Too good. He had me shaking in minutes, biting my fist while I came all over his face. Tastes so fucking sweet, he growled, licking up every drop. I pulled at his belt, desperate. Please, I need you inside me. He didn't even reply, just shoved his jeans down enough to free his cock and holy fuck. Thick, heavy, veiny, way bigger than I expected. He rubbed it against my pussy, slow and teasing, before pushing in inch by inch, stretching me wide. I had to bite into his shoulder just to keep quiet. Once he was all the way in, he stilled. You okay, baby? Yes, I whimpered. Please move. Fuck me. And then he did. Oh my goodness. Slow at first, deep, grinding thrust that made me see stars. Every time he bottomed out, I swear my whole body shivered. He had one hand around my throat, just resting, and the other on my hip, pulling me down onto his cock over and over. Then he flipped me and had me on all fours, ass up, face down into the carpet. He slammed into me from behind, balls slapping against me, hand in my hair now, yanking it as he fucked me like he was trying to claim me. "This what you wanted?" he panted, being used like a little fuck toy while daddy's upstairs.
Don't talk about your friend. I hope daddy comes downstairs and beats your ass.
Yeah, where's daddy? I was barely coherent, drooling into the carpet, moaning into my own arm. He reached around and rubbed my clit while he kept fucking me deep, and I screamed into the floor when I came again. Pussy squeezing so tight around him, he cursed out loud. "Gonna come," he growled.
Gonna come.
Gonna fill this tight little pussy up. Take every drop, yeah? I couldn't even answer. Just nodded like a dumb little slut. And he did. Held my hips still and flooded me. Deep groans, low moans, twitching inside me until I felt it dripping out onto my thighs. Afterwards, we both just laid there on the carpet, sweating, breathing hard. He finally whispered, "We can't do that again." I laughed. "Sure we can." The end.
Oh my goodness.
No, listen to him. Don't do it again. Find a nice boy in his 20s. If you must, find an older man.
Yeah.
Ugh. 48. It's your dad's age. How do you not think of your dad?
He's talking about her dad while they're doing it.
Yeah, and she doesn't even care.
And this one is from Lila Vlore. And it's called "That Time I Got My Back Blown Out Against a Shelf of Rare Books by a Bookstore Employee I'd Never Met." Not the rare books.
Rare books. That's what I just thought. I was like, rare books.
And the tags are female 27, male 20s, public stranger, come walk.
Come walk? Is that just like you just start walking after someone comes in you?
Yeah, it's like the ultimate walk of shame. The come walk.
Oh, okay.
So I had the afternoon to myself, which almost never happens. I decided to go to this massive old bookstore downtown. You know the kind. It smells like old paper and dust and possibilities, and you can get lost in there for hours. I was just wandering through the fiction aisles, not really looking for anything, when I saw him. He was an employee, probably college-aged, maybe a little bit older. He was reshelving books, and he was so focused. He had these dark-rimmed glasses, messy brown hair that kept falling into his eyes, and a really serious look on his face. He reminded me of this little Friends with Benefits I had last year, but like the smarter, more intense version. The academic hot vibe was doing things to me, not gonna lie.
Oh, you want a nerd?
Actually, now that I think of it, he kind of reminded me of a classic Redditor. Ew, when I think of a classic Redditor, I do not think sexy. I think fat neckbeard in a basement.
Yeah, yeah.
No offense.
A guy that, like, eats gas station food every single day. That's what I think.
Yeah, but there's someone for everyone.
If you eat gas station food every day, also, that sounded like I was judging you. I'm not. Sometimes you need a big gulp. I get it.
Yeah. I watched him for a minute, and then I got this idea. I have this author I love who wrote a bunch of weird, obscure shit from the 70s that's impossible to find. So I walked up to him. "Excuse me." He looked up, and his eyes were even cuter up close. A little surprised, like I'd broken up a daydream he's having of playing his Steam Deck or something. "Hi, yeah, sorry to bother you. I know this is a long shot, but I'm looking for a book by..." And I named the author. His eyebrows went up. "Oh, wow, I'm impressed you even heard of her. We definitely don't have that on the shelves." My heart did a little thump. "Yeah, I figured. Just thought I'd ask." I gave him a little smile. He looked at me for a second, really looked at me, and then his serious face broke into this tiny private smirk. "You know," he said, his voice dropping a little, "we might have a copy in the back, in the Overstock archives. It's a staff-only area, but..." That pause. OMG. "But you could take a quick look for me," I asked, trying to sound innocent as fuck. "Exactly," he said. He glanced down the long, empty aisle. "Follow me." The vibe shifted immediately. We walked past the end of the public bookshelves and he pushed open this heavy door marked "Staff Only." My stomach was doing flips. No fucking way. This was on. The hallway behind it was totally different. Concrete floor, barely fluorescent lights. It felt like we'd crossed into another dimension. He led me to a storage room at the end of the hall. It was packed, floor to ceiling, with metal shelves overflowing with books. It was dead silent back there and smelled even more more intensely of old paper. He flicked on a single bare bulb hanging from the ceiling. I'm just getting Joe Goldberg vibes. Like, he's gonna put you in a cage.
Yeah, you don't know this man. I mean, I'm all for, you know, being spontaneous. All for it. But men scare me.
Yeah, isn't this literally what Joe Goldberg did in a bookstore?
I'm pretty sure in, like, the first season. And then he had, like, a little cage down there and he put her in it. This man's got a cage.
He turned to me. So the book, he started, but didn't move to look for it. He just stood there, so close I could feel the heat coming off of him. I didn't say anything. I just looked at him. The silence was so loud. He closed the distance in two steps. He didn't say a word, just put one hand on the small of my back and the other on my jaw, and his mouth was on mine. The kiss was not great.
Oh,
classic Redditor.
Yeah.
Desperate and unpracticed and messy, all teeth and tongue. I made this little choked off sound against his lips. He pushed me back gently until I was pressed against a shelf of heavy, leather-bound books. They dug into my back a little. He broke the kiss just to breathe, his forehead pressed against mine. His breathing was so heavy, he slid his hands from my waist down to the hem of my skirt, his fingers just ghosting underneath the fabric. I reached down and fumbled with the button on his jeans. My hands were shaking so bad. This was pretty early on in my slut career. Oh, you made a career of it.
Get it.
He let out a little sharp hiss of breath through his teeth when I finally got them open and wrapped my hand around him. He wasn't very big, but he was harder than a piece of iron. It'll do.
I mean, yeah.
He shoved my skirt up around my waist with one rough motion, not caring about the fabric. He hooked a thumb into the side of my panties, pulling them aside so hard I thought they'd rip. There was no foreplay, no gentle buildup. He just positioned himself and started pushing inside of me. I wanted him so badly. I kind of bounced up and down on his cock, sliding a bit more in each time until I swallowed him up. I had to clap my hand over my own mouth to stifle a gasp. He was so warm and hard. He immediately started fucking me, fast and deep, slamming into me against the heavy bookshelf. My head thumped softly against the leather-bound books with every thrust. The whole time, the fear and thrill of someone walking in was making me super fucking anxious. I wrapped my arms around his neck, burying my face in his shoulder to muffle the sounds I wanted to make. I could feel his heavy breaths vibrating in his chest, but nothing came out of his mouth. He just held onto my hips tighter, his knuckles pressing into my skin and pounded into me. My head was swimming. I was so fucking close. I just wanted a huge orgasm to cover up my anxiety and possible shame if we got caught, but he was faster. I could feel him tensing up, his whole body going rigid against mine. A hot, shaky shudder ran through him and he just collapsed against me, pumping his load deep inside me. I don't think he jerked himself often, as I remember it feeling like a river of cum.
So much cum.
That is so much cum.
We stayed like that for a second, just breathing in the dusty air, our hearts hammering. Then, just as quickly as it started, it was over. He pulled out and I felt his warm cum immediately start to trickle down the inside of my thigh. He pulled away, his face flushed. We didn't say a word. We just fixed our clothes. My hands still trembling as I pulled my skirt down, him tucking his shirt back in. I subtly tried to wipe my leg on the inside of my skirt. He wouldn't quite meet my eyes. He gestured to the door. I walked out, and he followed, closing the storage room door quietly behind us. He walked me back to the main floor. At the edge of the fiction aisle, he finally looked at me and gave me another one of those tiny secret smiles. "Sorry," he whispered. "No book." "It's okay," I whispered back. "Thanks for looking." And then I just turned and walked away. I didn't look back. I didn't even buy anything. I just walked straight out of the store and into my car. Holy shit. I don't think I'll ever be able to walk into a bookstore again without getting wet, laughing my ass off. The end.
You definitely can't go back to that bookstore. I mean, you could. Might be a little
awkward.
Yeah,
he should have given you a free book, to be honest.
Yeah, you just gave him a quick little fuck. He probably hasn't had one of those in a long time.
Or ever.
He could have been a virgin. It sounded like it. And this next one comes from Green Pine Tree 2. And the title is When I Was Groped in a Train. And the tags are Female 40s, Male 18, Public Sex, Handjob, Dommy.
Dommy.
I come from a small town, one of those places where everyone waves at everyone else. Nothing unexpected ever happened. When I turned 18 and my family traveled to a major city for the first time, everything felt different, faster, louder. One afternoon, I decided to visit a smaller museum on my own. I boarded the subway by myself, expecting an uneventful ride. The train wasn't crowded. There were no free seats, but plenty of room to stand. I held onto a pole near the center, watching the blur of tunnels outside the windows. Then a woman entered, probably in her mid-40s, shorter than me. She had a thick, muscular frame, broad shoulders, beneath a white tank top. arms visibly toned, her biceps rounded and firm. Her tank top fit her closely, outlining the shape of her massive chest. Her leggings hugged every curve, the fabric clinging to her glutes, stretched smooth over the backs of her thighs. Her calves were sharply defined above her clean white sneakers. Her ponytail bounced once, lightly, as she stepped onto the train. She didn't look around for a seat. She didn't hesitate. She scanned the car, her eyes gliding over the passengers. Her gaze stopped when it reached me and stayed. She walked over to me, turned, and took the space directly in front of me. There was no way to take my eyes away from her perfect ass. Then, slowly, she began to move. She stepped back, just a few inches, but it was enough. It was light, but intentional. I reacted immediately. I shifted back a step, just enough to break the contact. She followed, another step, slower this time. Her hips pressed fully into my front, her glutes round, firm, aligned against me. The feel of her body, so sculpted and close, made me hard like a rock. I felt embarrassed. I tried to step back again, this time farther, my shoulders brushing the pole behind me, but I had nowhere else to go. She kept going, pressing herself against me. She began to move her hips, tiny, methodical shifts, left, right, then a slight tilt forward. I felt every flex of her glutes, every pause, every return. It wasn't random. Then she looked over her shoulder. Her eyes met mine. She didn't look startled. She looked amused. Her smirk was slow spreading, like something she didn't bother to hide. She bit her lower lip, not quickly, not nervously, but slowly, deliberately. Her gaze didn't leave me, and her hips didn't stop. Then she turned. Her full body pivoted toward me, and she stepped closer so that we were face to face. Her eyes roamed up from my chest to my mouth, then locked onto my eyes again. Her smirk deepened. Her lip caught between her teeth once more. Her expression was controlled pleasure. Then she reached forward. Her hand landed firmly on me, through my pants. There was no hesitation. Her palm settled fully. Her thumb began to move, slowly in small circles, measured, steady, adjusting with every twitch of my face. She was watching me react in real time. She didn't look down, not once. Her eyes held mine. She leaned in slightly, her voice a quiet breath. "You are so big, little boy."
What? Why did you say that?
My God. She bit her lip again, this time slower, dragging it through her teeth like someone savoring a dessert. Her face didn't show arousal. It showed dominance, amusement, satisfaction. "It is so thick." I was stunned and ashamed. "Come for mommy," she whispered. I couldn't hold back. Her eyes widened just slightly. Recognition, confirmation. Her smirk didn't disappear. If anything, it settled. Became satisfied. She stepped away, turned, and walked toward the doors, and I never saw her again. The end.
Sir, you were assaulted.
You were sexually assaulted, sir. Young man. Little boy.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yeah. Go on over to Patreon if you want to hear us every week.
Yeah.